Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Series 2, Episode 2 of In Conversation with a CEO. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Gareth Thomas, who in less than 2 months will be our new Chief Medical Officer here at LSCFT. So, Gareth, it'd be great for you to introduce yourself and really, I suppose, hear a bit more about your journey from medical school to Chief Medical Officer.
Thanks, Chris, and a huge thank you for asking me to come on the podcast today.
It's
really great to be able to talk to you and share some of my experiences, but also, you know, supporting a medical workforce as well. I first became interested in psychiatry back as a medical student. This is quite a long time ago now, increasing in many years, but I went to Leicester Warwick Medical School. We did our psychiatry placement in Coventry at the time, and I thought it was a fascinating specialty. I thought it was probably the only specialty really where I got the opportunity to sit down with patients and their families and work alongside a clinical team to really learn about mental health conditions, evidence-based treatments, but also to think more broadly about supporting a patient and their family with lots of issues that they had. I found it absolutely fascinating. And then when the opportunity came along to do psychiatry again, it was my first ever job as a doctor. Which was quite unique at the time to do it as your first ever job as a doctor, as a foundation.
And that was here in Lancashire?
That was here in Chorley at the time on an older adult ward. And it just built up my enthusiasm and interest as a specialty, psychiatry, but also old age psychiatry. And it just really stuck out, I think, from day one, that complex interaction between physical health, psychiatry, social issues, you know, understanding about really complicated mental health conditions, but also evidence-based treatments, and similar to when I was a student, and around working with a really good clinical team to think holistically about somebody to really improve their quality of care, and particularly that overlap with physical health as well and liaising with medical colleagues. When I was a student, but also as a junior doctor here, I think my interest was spurred because I worked with consultants and senior nurses who were really interested in my development as well. And our cohort's development. So I think when people show a bit of interest in you and they nurture you and take a bit of time and they get you involved in research or improvement activity or teaching, you naturally migrate
massive,
to that.
Isn't it? It's huge.
And I think it makes a big difference, a big difference to people. So I applied for specialty training a couple of years after that, having done A&E placements and surgery and medicine and GP placements. And always felt a natural fit to...
First placement was in psychiatry.
Yep.
Then you went and did other placements, but you wanted to come back to psychiatry. But you knew with that first placement, you thought that was...
Oh, 100%. Okay. At that point, there was no going back. Even though I really enjoyed my other placements, there was no going back at that point. It would have took a lot for me to do something else. Yeah. And I'm so proud of the choice that I made. And I did loads of placements, you know, around kind of the Northwest, but predominantly they were here. I've always really enjoyed working in Lancashire. Love the people. Love all the accents. It's a really interesting place historically.
Yeah.
I had family that were living here and I lived here, so it felt a natural fit. But I just really enjoyed the people and colleagues. So for me, psychiatry is about people, and my interest in being here in Lancashire has always been about people as well. And that's kind of led me to have lots of different opportunities and different leadership roles. And a few years later, you end up as the chief medical officer almost.
Yeah.
So really exciting times. And I'm lucky to be able to look around me and see other folk developing in a similar way, whether the UK graduates, whether they're international graduates that are working with us. And we're starting to see people who can come to us in LSCFT, develop the careers with us and stay and develop their own interests. And they are delivering fantastic patient care.
And that bit about, because I remember when I joined the trust, hearing about the medical workforce transformation program, just talk to us a bit about that and some of the real benefits that we're starting to see coming from that.
It's huge, and it's brilliant that the organization's investing in all of our staff, you know, but, you know, from my perspective, particularly in terms of medical colleagues as well. And that investment is, you know, being seen now. We're recruiting more consultants, we're recruiting doctors at all different grades. And that helps as our services have become busier and we've transformed our services. We've got the medical staff to support that. But it also helps in terms of future recruitment, but then also in terms of reducing things like health inequalities. And we've been able to put, you know, junior doctors and trainees, for example, into areas such as Morecambe Bay that may not have had a junior doctor for a decade.
Wow.
So that improves access for patients in those particular areas. So it's really key, that investment into into the medical workforce. And, you know, back in 2020, 2021, we started to think, how do we do this a bit more systematically? Yeah. And it's in line with the Royal College of Psychiatrists. They have a brilliant Choose Psychiatry campaign.
Okay.
But we also know from the NHS long-term plan and the NHS workforce plan that you have to really invest in grow your workforce over time. They don't just appear, you know, and that takes time. And it's also in line with our quadruple aim as well. Joy and pride in work is around our workforce and developing our workforce. So for me, this all came together. And we had board support to develop a program. And that's in two areas. One was expanding our medical workforce. And secondly, is making sure we use that workforce as efficiently as possible around our new services that we've got. So what started off as 10 actions became 33 actions, which is now 50 actions.
Okay.
And that reflects our enthusiasm, you know, into doing things differently.
And those relationships with universities must have been really key at the early start of that transformation program. And how have you, I suppose, maintained, fostered and improved those relationships?
Really key for a number of reasons. I think firstly, it's because that's where your very nascent psychiatrists are.
Yeah.
You know, we want to get medical students really interested in this as being the best specialty.
Yeah.
You know, we're competing with surgery and medicine, but we want people to the best to come and work in psychiatry. So we've offered placements here to Liverpool University students, Manchester University students and Lancaster students for quite a long time now.
Yeah.
So working with three different curriculums across our whole patch is challenging. But there's lots of new universities that have appeared in the system. You know, we're currently working alongside Pairs Medical School.
Cumbria.
That's the collaboration between Imperial and Cumbria University on a really novel way of delivering undergraduate education. We're really excited to be working alongside them. But also we're starting conversations now with Edge Hill University and with UCLan as well. So we're really looking at boosting the very early pipelines as much as possible. But it's good for our existing doctors as well, because they can become part of universities with teaching opportunities, with research opportunities. So yeah, I see this as a two-way thing as well. Really excited.
And that, you've just mentioned it there. So research, I'm really key that we really increase the presence and the awareness of research within the trust. So what, I suppose, if you were a consultant listening to this now, or a medical student coming through, what opportunities are there to do research here at LSCFT, and how do you work that into job plans? With, you know, and you mentioned that about you, the teaching at universities, you know, those opportunities and how they get woven into new job plans would be good to know.
Yeah, research is a real growth area for us. I think we've really started over the past 3 or 4 years, develop this into a really, really good place.
Yeah.
We're really looking to develop those research leaders, but then also focus how we can improve our, you know, homegrown research projects as well, aligning ourselves with more national studies as well.
Okay.
So we've got a really good research team that's grown over time. We have a number of senior lecturers now that are part of that team, as well as other professionals, to really work with our clinical staff to be developing projects, to be providing the best evidence base to treat our patients ultimately. Yeah. So with homegrown projects, there's a lot of work that's been done by the research team. They're really supporting people to develop their ideas, develop their competencies, but also it's quite hard doing the funding applications, and they're providing more support around those funding applications, including fellowship programs that we're aligned to. And then, of course, becoming aligned to some of the national work that's going on as well. We've got a brilliant clinical research facility, which is a collaboration between ourselves, Lancashire Teaching Hospitals and local universities as well. Yeah. And that's where we can, you know, do lots of activity. And it's really bespoke for this area and the patients in this area. I think it's a great time to join us, actually, if you want to do research.
Yeah.
So I'm going to plug coming to join LSCFT. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's a great time for research.
That bit about, you mentioned about fellowships there and the whole quality improvement and the improvement fellowship with Lancaster Uni and Matthew Syth Associates. That, we've seen some really good stuff coming from that fellowship. Is that another area where you'd encourage consultants to get involved with?
Yeah, definitely. I think the investment the organisation's had into building capacity and capability of improvers up to expert level improvers is fantastic. I know we've got over 90% of staff that are trained in you know, improvement methodologies, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And the best improvement activity comes from our staff themselves. So investing that feels really natural and comfortable. We've built up different levels of our improvement training. The highest level, as you've mentioned, is the Improvement Fellowship Program. Yeah. And that's a collaboration between ourselves, Lancaster University and Matthew Syed, where you come away with a PG cert.
Okay.
But also a lot of expertise to be able to lead on kind of team level, trust level, system level projects as well. And it's brilliant, some of the projects that are being done. And for all new consultants that join us, we are giving them a place on this program should they wish, a fully funded place in addition to the normal study budget. We really want to see doctors leading on improvement across our systems.
That clinically led improvement is just so important, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned about expansion in medical numbers, and you know, I think you were telling me the other day 11 consultants recruited in the last three months, which is fantastic. But that expansion of core training and higher training numbers, and why is that so important for Lancashire and South Cumbria as a population?
Absolutely right. We've done well with recruitment last year and into this year. It's been red hot, which is really positive that people are coming to join us. That's really great. I think that the backbone of some of that work has been investment into psychiatry trainees at the more junior core level and the higher trainee old-fashioned registrar level who are almost consultant at that point. I've got it on good authority. We probably have increased our numbers probably as a trust more than any other trust in the country.
Fantastic.
Which reflects, you know, we want to develop our doctors here. And like we mentioned earlier, that impacts clinical care now, including reducing health inequalities, but also recruitment potential of our doctors as well. But it also means that we've been able to think about placements in different ways. So different opportunities. So some of those placements are combined with medical education and split posts. We're developing split posts with research. We've been able to put different posting CAMs for the first time in areas where they've not had trainees for a long time, like Morecambe Bay.
Yeah.
So really focus on that rural coastal element of medical recruitment. And we've invested a lot in terms of improving the quality of training alongside that as well. Fellowship programs that we've mentioned, investment into supervisors and developing them and giving them the time to be able to supervise. And we're starting to reap the benefits from that as well.
It must be quite an attractor, I think, as an area, because you get the best of inner city. You've mentioned the rural aspect, the coastal aspect, where it's able to, you know, with a population of just under 2 million, that's really good, isn't it?
It is. And I think about CAMS as a really good example for this, is that you think about the services that we've got. You know, you could do a community, if you're a higher trainee, which is your 3-year program, you could do 12 months in a community team in Preston.
Yeah.
You could then go off and do, you know, 12 months, you know, towards Blackpool on the coast, but then you could do, you know, 12 months in our inpatient unit at the Cove for children and young people. So a really broad opportunity for people. Yeah.
Fantastic. And another route of our expansion has been through our internationally educated and colleagues and that route. How do we go about expanding that pipeline, but also then supporting colleagues that, you know, have left family a lot of the time and moved over to the UK and moved to Lancashire and South Cumbria?
I completely agree how important this is. We've invested for a number of years in our international doctors, a fantastic backbone of our workforce.
Yeah.
And we're really proud of the brilliant work that they do for us. And we've had a number of initiatives to support our international doctors. I think one in particular that's been really positive for us has been the medical training initiative, which is a 2-year program with the Royal College of Psychiatrists, where international doctors come and work with us for 2 years. And we give them a broad range of experience and, you know, help them, you know, at the end of those 2 years about what they would like to do. But we put a lot of effort into that professional and pastoral support as well. And that starts before the doctor even comes to the UK. So we have a relationship team, a relationship manager and relationship officers that work alongside that doctor, you know, to support them with that transition to the UK, whether it be with visas, whether it be with setting up bank accounts, whether it be, you know, finding accommodation, which is really challenging when you're trying to do things between different countries. Yeah. But then when somebody comes to the UK, it's to make sure they've got a number of inductions that make them feel really welcome from a trust perspective. Yeah. From a locality perspective, but also come to the NHS, which is very, very different than health systems across the world.
Yeah.
So that onboarding is really, really important. But then we make sure the supervisors are really well trained. We've got a good mentorship program that people can have as well. And we've got dedicated forums for different types of doctors, including our international doctors, that really focuses on their unique needs. Yeah. And over time, these have all been co-produced with our international doctors because they know what they need to know, absolutely. You know, from it, and fully respect them. And we've put in a careers conversation program as well. Hugely successful. And we're delighted that a number of those doctors have stayed with us, or they've gone into training post, but most of the time they've still stayed with us, being in training. And, you know, we're so proud of that. And I'm so proud of the work that we've done. And it leans into work we've done with our specialty doctors, our SAS doctors, as they're known as. We have a dedicated SAS tutor that works with our SAS doctors. And we've always been really invested to ensure that our SAS doctors have the best experience, really good quality appraisal and job planning, and they can reach their full potential.
Yeah.
Interestingly, SAS doctors are the biggest growth of grade of doctor across the UK.
Okay.
So this is a really important group of doctors that we absolutely have to be committed to developing and supporting. And I think even though we do have work to do in this area, I'm really proud of where we've come so far.
Brilliant. And underpinning all of that has to be that inclusive workforce, isn't it? And here at the Trust, we really take that seriously. But I suppose specifically for the medical workforce, there's the Medical Workforce Race Equality Standard. Mm-hmm. Just talk a bit about that, what that means to you as a medical leader, and how you think that we take that forward as an organisation.
And thanks for mentioning the Medical Race Equality Standard, the MRES, as it's known. From it, we take it really seriously. Investment and support into our international colleagues of all professions, mm-hmm. including our doctors, is absolutely essential. It's core business. It's not an add-on. This should be embedded in everything that we do, every meeting, every policy, everything. The MRES data is really useful data. It helps us to guide where we're at as an organization, the areas that we're doing well, the areas that we need to improve on. And it's really helpful data. I think we're one of the few trusts to actually collate that data, and we share it back with NHS England. We're really happy to share that data and hold the mirror to ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's shown positives. So in terms of our international doctors being part of our medical leadership teams is really positive area.
Yeah.
We know we've got other areas to do better in, but I'm okay with that, and I'm committed in my role now and as chief medical officer, be working alongside our doctors to get this to exactly where we need it to be. And we will.
Yeah.
And we will do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fully support that. And so if you were a medical student, or you were an international doctor, a specialty doctor, or a current consultant now, what would be a couple of messages you'd want to get across about coming to work at LSCFT and what are the opportunities that we can offer you?
How long have you got? You know, on this podcast, really, I think you can see organisationally how much we value our doctors, how much we value them as senior clinicians, but also not just medical leaders, but broader leaders across the organisation and system. And that's really important. I think our doctors could come here and start their career with us and develop the whole way to even become the next CMO after me. You know, there's the opportunity there. I think we're really keen to invest in individuals. We want people to bring their whole self to work. I want to be able to sit down with our doctors and say, what are you interested in?
Yeah.
We need this clinical work doing, but are you interested in research, you know, improvement, teaching and training, system leadership? How can I help you? How can we help you? So we're really open to ideas and suggestions. And then throw in things like flexible working. Yeah. We have increasing doctors who flexibly work. We're really keen to look at that. Ultimately, we just want the very best to come and work here because we know that people will deliver the very best when they're developed.
And we've seen that over the last, you know, I've been here 4 years, and that improvement journey as an organisation. And I think, you know, getting CQC recognition earlier this year about CQC good is really important. But we're not complacent. We know we've still got improvements to do. And seeing that being taken forward, clinically led, is absolutely, I think, the way that we'll deliver our ultimate vision.
I think so. And I think where we're at now is a good place. You know, obviously there's so much more to do, you know, in the spirit of improvement.
It's exciting.
Really exciting. Yeah. What an opportunity to join an organisation that's just got good with the CQC. Staff survey results are really positive.
Yeah.
And I think the fact we've got what is called the quadruple aim as our strategy, which obviously you know really well, is that gives us a framework for how we're going to move forward. And I think that lends itself to modern healthcare and working with our communities. So I'm really excited by the future. I would encourage anybody to, you know, reach out after this podcast to me personally or to yourself, and we can discuss unique opportunities for people.
Yeah, perfect. Well, we are great having you in the team, and we are so excited that you're going to be our next Chief Medical Officer. So thank you very much, and thank you for listening.